right, let's begin to round up our series, The Season of Fruitfulness, and we'll start today by reading from the book of, just to save time, I'll just refer to Genesis chapter 26 that we have talked about before. Remember that Isaac wanted to move at the time, and then God said to him, don't move into the land that you want to go to, but stay in the land that I'm going to show you. And then he said, dwell in that land, and that same land Isaac sowed that same year and reaped a hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. And the Bible says in verse 13 of Genesis chapter 26, and the man became rich and continued. He didn't stop, but he continued to grow richer until he became very wealthy. Now, we want to continue today from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 11. Last time we read chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 8. It says, you shall therefore keep every commandment which I'm commanding you today, so that you may be strong and go in and possess the land into which you are about to cross to possess it, so that you may prolong your days on the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give to them and to their descendants. Now, while I'm reading this, I want us to look at the description of that land. He said, a land flowing with milk and honey, for the land into which, that's verse 10 now, for the land into which you are entering to possess it, is not like the land of Egypt from which you came, where you sowed your seed and water, where you sow your seed and water it with your food like a vegetable garden. But the land into which you are about to cross to possess it is a land of hills and valleys. This land drinks water of the rain of heaven, a land for which the Lord your God cares. The eyes of the Lord your God are always on it from the beginning even to the end of the year. He now said in verse 13, it shall come about, if you listen obediently to every commandment which I'm commanding you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and all your soul, that he will give the rain for your land in its season, the early and the late rain, that you may gather in your grain and your new wine and your oil. He said, he will give grass in your fields for your cattle, and you will eat and be satisfied. Let's just finish reading that that paragraph in my own Bible, New American Standard. That's the next two verses. Actually, where I want is really what I want to bring out has ended there. But let's just add the next two verses to it just to complete. He said, beware that your hearts are not deceived, and that you do not turn away and serve other gods and worship them, or the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you, and it will shut up the heavens, so that there will be no rain, and the ground will not yield its fruit, and you will quickly perish from the land, from the good land which the Lord is giving you. All right. Now, actually, I wanted to read this before. When I was reading Jeremiah chapter 8 the other time, was it 8 or 18? 8. This was what I wanted to read. But later when I got home, I said, no, that's not the portion I'm looking for. And I realize that this is what we are supposed to read. You'll see the reason in a moment. Now, let me connect from where we stopped, all right? Don't worry, I'll get into my message in a moment. See, there's just one more scripture I'll read, please, quickly. Let me just read this, and then I will stop reading. I'll start talking. Quickly, again, the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11. Let's read that one quickly, and then I get into what I want to say for today, which, like I said, it's the beginning of the end of the series. All right? Ecclesiastes chapter 11. He said, verse 3, I'm going to verse 4, I just want to take a few steps backwards. See, if the clouds are full, they pour out rain upon the earth, and whether a tree falls toward the south or toward the north, wherever the tree falls, there it lies. Now, verse 4, he who watches the wind will not sow, and he who looks at the clouds will not reap. Now, let me just stop here. He who watches the wind will not sow, and he who looks at the clouds will not reap. Let me just tell you why I read this again, then I'll connect it to what we're reading from Jeremy chapter 11, and then we'll continue. Now, I want to emphasize something here again. In life, we know that there is seed time, and there is a season of harvest. And we're talking about the season of fruitfulness. What I want to emphasize is the fact that the Bible says it clearly here, that there is always work to do in the season of harvest, as much as there is to do in the season of planting your seed. You see, because it said, he that watches the wind will not sow. what was he saying? In fact, if you have a New Living Translation or Good News Bible, one of them says, anyone waiting for conditions to be perfect, we get nothing done. Very important. What he was trying to say there is that we have to get something done. We have to get up and go and do something. When you hear people speak a lot of times, they say that, why are you not doing your business? The conditions in Nigeria, they're not good. Power is not constant, like I say all the time. That's how some people are sitting down, focusing on what is not good, focusing on what is not constant, while others are sitting in the same place, moving up, doing things, and turning things around, creating power where there was no power. Are you getting my point? Remember the story, the one I like to tell all the time. When they asked the Voda and all these European telecom companies to come to Africa, then Obasanjo went there, told them, begged them to come to Nigeria and come and invest in telecoms. And they said they had a bad market, and then they did their feasibility studies, their consultants. Don't believe those people. Do you understand my point? Those consultants told them that Nigerians couldn't afford phones, and they refused. Power is not constant. Thank God for those who didn't believe them. They came from South Africa. They came from Zimbabwe. They came and they started. They invested money in the country. And in a short while, they sold so many lines, they couldn't keep up. One of my brothers, you know, he worked, one of my alumni brothers, my alumni fellowship that I talk about once in a while. Then he was working as an engineer at MTN. He said then their job was to, you know, rapidly build base stations. And that one, he was in the Port Harcourt area. That normally, that is, they had teams and they had competition in getting these base stations up. And the one thing used to happen, that as soon as they turn on a new station that they had built, it's instantly overloaded. They were shifting their best engineers over to Nigeria. Guys, work is going on. This was the same place where people said, all right, things could not be done. And that's why the Bible says, he that is waiting for conditions to be perfect, we get nothing done. The way they said in this, our English in the scriptures, is he that watches the winds will not sow. And now what I want to bring out, okay, that's not my emphasis. That's talking about sowing. It's important you sow your seed. My emphasis is the fact that he said, he that observes the clouds also will not reap. What was he saying? If you are waiting also for conditions to be perfect, you also will not get anything done so as to tap into the fruitfulness that God is bringing into your life. I said something on Tuesday. Let me say it again. Be careful what you consume. Remember it? Those of you around on Tuesday. What did I say?
Be careful what you consume.
Be careful what you consume. Because what you consume affects how you see life. Remember when God came. This was what I explained. Let me just quickly say it again for those who were not around. God came into the garden. Now he said, don't eat. That was the commandment he gave to Adam, which Eve also heard from him. He said, I have given you everything in the garden. Eat of it. But there's a particular tree that I don't want you to touch. The day you eat that one, you shall surely die. And then Satan came and tempted the woman. You know the story. And then she took the fruit of that tree and ate it and then gave to her husband with her. The Bible says. And then God, now listen to this. Nothing about them changed. That's what I want you to understand. Nothing about them changed. They were looking the way they were looking before. You hear what I said? They were looking exactly the way they were looking before. The clothes Adam didn't have then, he did not have it before that. Are you getting my point? It's not as if when he finished eating it, suddenly his clothing disappeared. All the Giorgio Armani's and the Calvin Klein's, you understand, and the Hugo Boss and the DKNY's on his body just melted away because he ate a fruit. No, that was not what happened. The land was still fruitful. Nothing went wrong. He was still in the same place where he was living. But then, when he ate that fruit, suddenly he realized there was no power supply. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm saying. Suddenly he realized that there was no security. He suddenly realized, you understand my point, that the value of the currency is depreciating. He suddenly realized that people are not very loyal when you make deals with them. You have to be careful. You cannot invest in this place. He suddenly realized all the problems. The Bible said he suddenly realized he was naked. And that began to affect his response to life. Normally, the Lord would have come and he would have discussed his problems with God. But he did not. When God began to come, he ran away. When the Lord showed up, he said, we went and hid. God said, this is normally where we meet. This is where we're supposed to discuss our strategies for the next phase of our business. And Adam was not there. Adam, where are you? He said, I'm hiding somewhere. Why are you hiding? I'm in the toilet. I closed the door. Why? Because I'm naked. Why? And God like, now listen to this. Everything you believe in life, always ask yourself, who told me? I don't know what I hear I'm saying. Because what was the first question God asked him? Who told you you were naked? Your information must have come from somewhere. Ah, who told you you were naked? You must know where the information you are working by, where it came from. You know, this afternoon I was writing something, this morning actually, in the house. I wanted to use marriage as an illustration for something. I said, you see, I've heard a lot of people talk on marriage relationships. How husband should do wife, how wife should do husband, how them, and how women are, and how men are. Men are from Mercury, and women are from Pluto. You've heard things like that. As I was penning it, while I was typing actually this morning, something struck me. I said, all these explanations, they're not even in the scriptures, though. They're not even there. That the Bible says clearly, men, whether you are from Jupiter or from Saturn, love your wives as Christ loved the church. I don't care whether you are from the moon. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. And let the woman see that she honors her husband, respects her husband, be submissive. I don't care whether you are from the moon surrounding Jupiter or you are among the rings around Saturn. It makes no difference. Obey these two. He said, upon these two hang all the laws and the prophets. You know why I went into that? You know, my wife knows a lot of those things I don't believe. There's one man I was watching, he was preaching on marriage. After a while, I said, this man is very interesting. He makes me laugh. I don't believe a word of what he said. I said, you don't believe it? Yes, he's not in the Bible. It's very nice to say, I'm bringing attention, because this is the point I'm trying to bring up, all right? That who told you you were naked? And I thought I was digressing. All the information, who told you? Men are like this, who told you? Are you getting my point? You know, I'm a woman, I'm like this, who told you? Your mother, she's not God. She does not know anything. Who told you you couldn't amount to anything? Who told you? Are you getting my point? Who told you that? That's why I'm happy with that story I told at the beginning. They told people in this country that if you invest in telecoms, it will not work. It worked. Let me say something to you again. Don't let the people lie to you and dislodge you from where you have made progress. There is no way in the world where success is guaranteed. You know, I keep on saying this thing. I've said it so much, I don't even like hearing myself say it. But something just keeps pushing me to say it. You sell your father's land to get a visa to go somewhere. Don't worry, poverty is waiting for you. You were not willing to sell that land to invest anywhere else. Are you getting my point? Poverty, you know, just waiting. You know, like somebody said, there are things that don't require visa. They pack, enter your bag. Listen to me. Let nobody deceive you. The chances of doing well in America is not at all better than doing well where you are. You know, some people, when you say this is there, okay, you do. I know. One day, there was one doctor I used to work with me at UNTH. Where is he? He ran away and he went to America. 2 years later, his uncle came back to my office and said, good afternoon, sir. If he comes back, will you give him his job back? I don't know what I heard what I said. I'm sorry, I am not the big boss. I mean, look big to you, but I'm one of the small people here. If he wants his job back, he will climb that building, go to the top floor. That's where the CMD is. The chief medical director is there. Go and ask him. The same individual, like 4 or 5 years later, let's just say 3 years. Let's not appear as if we are deceiving ourselves. One of my friends in the U.S. called me and said, hey, Banky, remember this guy? I said, yes, I remember him now. He said, one day somebody called him and said, please, whether he can help one Nigerian doctor, that the guy is frustrated and confused. He's also a Nigerian doctor. He was doing okay. Whether he can help him to help give the guy guidance and direction. This is at least 7 years after. I don't think he has amounted to anything. Want to steal money, thinking that when you get to America, you will pay it back. You're a thief. There is a curse in the house of the thief. Hear this, I hear it clearly. There is nowhere on earth where there is the assurance of success. It's only if God blesses you. is only if God blesses you. The same God is rich unto all that call. Oh, I listened to that message again recently. Bishop David posted the gospel of abundance. He said the same God in India is the same God here. And he quoted the Archbishop Benson Daosa that he will say a lizard in Nigeria will not become an alligator in America. That is a matter of fact. That is a matter of fact too. That is a matter of fact. We must understand this thing. What's the point we are making? Let's get back to our message. What is the message? It is when people deceive you with words. I said, be careful what you consume. That is why they start telling you things that are not true. There is nothing. Now, what I want to say will sound funny, but I want to hear it. There is nothing IMF says that's true about your life, about Nigeria, about most African countries, about most developing countries. They don't know anything. World Bank is essentially a bundle of well-suited liars in a building somewhere in Europe and America. Once they wanted to show us, you know, this propaganda, of which CNN is one of them, is part of them. When they want to demonize the ruler, they know how to do it. There was a day I heard that somebody, this really happened. A journalist came to, I think it was Uganda, one of these countries, and wanted to do a document, got a local to take him or, well, it was a her, I don't know, around. So that fellow decided, let me take you to the nice areas. They said, no, this is not the kind of thing she wants to film. They want to film where children are running around naked, you know what I'm saying? You see four children living, putting hands into one bowl. If you check, those bowls are always dented and cracked. Just watch it. It's deliberate. There are rich people in those places, they will never film them. Then you turn around, go to New York, there are slums that people also live like there, but they won't film that one for you. So they show you all those kind of things. So when they were watching TV like that, and they were trying to show how Robert Mugabe had destroyed Zimbabwe. Let me tell you, I don't know Robert Mugabe. He's not my personal friend. You understand my point? I don't know him. But I told my wife simply, they are lying against the man. This is part of their calculated effort to ruin his government. All the problems in Zimbabwe are tied to the sanctions they placed on him, not his decisions. I hope you are getting my point. The problems arose from the fact that they said we will punish this man. So anyway, what I'm telling the story is that, so one day, he was now going around, went to a big supermarket, showing that there's no bread on the shelves, there's no corned beef on the shelf, you know what I'm saying? no tin tomatoes, nothing. Showing you how, that day I was grieved. So my wife was feeling bad. How come? What is going on? I said, baby, relax. You're an African. Our food is in the market. I told my wife, I said, relax. This one they are showing you is the mall, is the supermarket. Have they showed you their own equivalent of Ogbete? She said, no. Have you seen their village market? No, go there. You will see ugu, you will see yam. You will see locally grown tomato. You will see the things the guys are working. Don't let IMF lie to you. You watch TV too much. You are asking for confession for your soul. That's what I'm trying to explain. That my wife was feeling bad. How come people? I said, relax, baby, relax. Have you noticed that this shop has glass sliding door to enter? These are the people that depend on imports. The ones, the cassava, the garri they made themselves, go to their own local market. If it's plenty. But the cameras will go. Anyway, I don't want to focus on that. I want to focus on your life. When they feed you all those things, suddenly you wake up in the morning and say, nothing can work. I come once again to ask you today, who told you nothing can work? Are you getting my point? Who told you? Who told you? Who told you? They tell you that all the dollars Nigeria make is a lie. Most of ever since Sanusi decided that no importation of dollars, guys, okay, no wahala. Y'all begin shook their dollar for pocket. Shook on here. Each man traveling has $9,999. You can't tell him he didn't declare it. Declaration is $10,000. Most of the dollars are working here, working in pocket. You hear what I said? Inside pocket. They don't declare it to anybody. Nobody can arrest you. You walk in anywhere with your dollars in your pocket. IMF will never find out. will now come and be using their own statistics to lie to you that you have a problem. Listen, you don't have a problem. Are you getting my point? You have a better advantage than an average American. That's not supposed to be a lie. That's not supposed to be a lie. I mean it literally the way I said it. You sit down around doing nothing, believing that I've seen a man, this one, I've seen them plenty. That time I was in Lagos. Any man to get up and walk, he won't do anything. He's hanging around the embassy waiting for a visa. While the period he's there waiting, his mates are, you know what they call breakthrough? Severely breaking through. Oh God, I'm in a gisting mood. Oh God, those days, oh Father God. You know Lagos, I love Lagos for one thing. The prosperity is everywhere. But there's one thing I like about Lagos. If you take your broom in the morning, so I'm going to be sweeping for a fee. Do you hear what I said? The day I respected Lagosians that time, oh God, I love Africans. God, just bless us, eh? We are good people. Once, I was supposed to be the driver to take the household to the market, my cousin's house, where I was staying in Lagos then. They used to go, you know, go down to, is it mile 12 or mile 2? Which one is at the end of K2? Mile 12. So I parked. So I won small hatchback roller, we took the market. So the women went to the market. When they now arrived later, you know, I saw some ladies, you know, small young girls. You know their job? Waiting for you to come out of the muddy market. They are there sitting down with sponge and soap and towel and slippers. As soon as you come back from it, you know the market is muddy, dirty floor, your feet will be dirty. As soon as you come out like this, auntie, you hang them your right foot. Come on. They have water waiting. Don't put soap. Finish. Rub cream for your leg for you. Sharp, sharp. Change the other leg. Wash soap and water. Rub cream for the thing. Clean your shoe. Somebody don't shine your shoe back for you. Step out of their slippers into your shoe. Your husband won't believe you went to market. And these people were there making money. Once I saw a friend of mine was staying somewhere, so I went to see him in the evening. We're now strolling in the evening. Let's get something to eat. To my surprise. In the afternoon, now bus stop, people, they walk out, sidewalk. For night, which one will be sidewalk? Now restaurant. Guys don't bring out table. See, this man's specialty now, yam and eggs. He has boiled the yam from his house. He has crates of egg there. How many eggs? Two. How many slices of yam? He just opens the cooler. You see him, egg a la carte. African omelette, you know? Don't chop it. Now listen, people were doing these things and sending children to all kinds of schools. And some people were there queuing at the embassy believing that if you don't give me a visa, my life, you understand, has come to an end. And listen, all over the place, one day one of my preacher friend, he was telling me that one of his friends in Onitsha, all he does is you know, preparatory classes for WASC, you know, stuff like that. And that really, that guy was turning over about ₦1 million a month in turnover, preparing young people to go and take WAEC, you know, NECO, JAMB. I like, are you serious? Yes. He gave me a rough calculation that this guy turns over about ₦1 million a month. Why some were saying, never, it's not working. They're angry. One young man was there, turning over ₦1 million a month, turnover. And his profit on it, if it is bad, 30%. If it's bad, I don't want to overestimate. Preparing people for WAEC, for their, what they call, NECO, you know, WASC, JAMB. Who told you you were naked? When you feed yourself with a lot of nonsense, things will not be different in your life, but you will see them differently. Adam had not changed one bit. He suddenly decided he was naked. He was unprotected. He had no investor. Nobody's giving him money. His business won't do well. Why? Because he ate the fruit he wasn't supposed to eat. What you feed yourself with is what determines how you see yourself. And when you see yourself wrongly, saying you are naked when you are not naked, you end up outside the garden. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm saying. What happened to Adam? They kicked him out of the garden. And if you see the way the Lord painted that picture, it was to let us know the way the spiritual operations work. He came as if he did not know. Because he went to the same place where he expected to meet this man and his wife. It was when he didn't find them there, he said, "Where are you?" It was a question. He was behaving as if, listen, let's assume I'm not aware of what is going on. But let me show you the way life works, so that even if I'm not aware of what's going on, you will put yourself in the trouble. I am naked. God said, "Who told you you're naked?" What God was saying is that what this man is interpreting as nakedness right now was there before. It was not nakedness. When did he all of a sudden suddenly change his perspective? He must have consumed something differently. He must have been eating something. Listen, you have a friend, suddenly the words coming out of the fellow's mouth changes. Just check, where has this girl been? Where has this guy been? The person must have gone somewhere. Are you getting my point? Somebody must be feeding this fellow something. You see a man who used to be bold, ready to take charge of anything in life. Suddenly say, "Hey, please, we have to be careful, oh. We have to be careful." Ah, like, what's happening? Go and check. He has gone to one church where they told him that the earth is placenta. That's what I told you on Tuesday. Anywhere you enter, you're not a sinner. You know, if you're a sinner, it's good for you to enter a church and feel oppressed. Are you getting what I'm saying? But when you're not a sinner, you just go in the morning, you are joyful. This is the day that the Lord has made. You know, he went to church. By the time they finish, you will die and go to hell. Just stop going there. You know, I have told you. Because one day you actually die, even if you don't go to hell. You will just die a hellish die. You were happy when you woke up in the morning, rejoicing in the Lord. You enter church, then by the time you came out, you were depressed. Gloom, doom, everything is looking bad. Somebody say hello, you jump. Like my wife greeted somebody once. Ah, no, she was praying somebody that greeted somebody else. Say, "Ah, where have you been? Where are you now?" Say, "No, you can't know where I am. You can't know where I am. I don't look like, what happened? I'm greeting you." You know, you should not see your friend in a long time or a relative. He said, "Ah, where are you now? That is, are you still in Enugu? Or you are now in Abakaliki? Or I heard you went to Melbourne? Or is it Sydney? You know that kind of, you went to Sochi?" Yeah. That was all. Say, "No, you can't know where I am. You can't know where I am." Why? Somebody has been feeding. Oh, God. Be careful what you eat, oh. Be feeding the young woman with arrant nonsense. Listen to me. I'll give it to you direct like I gave it on Tuesday. I don't care whether they call it church or not. You were sleeping nicely in your house before. There was no problem. Then now, when you want to sleep, you bind your perimeter from witches. You bind them from spirit husband, spirit boyfriend. Once you start that, you don't miss road. Wait till I talk. You don't miss road with that. God sent me today to let you know that you are on the wrong path. Change direction. If you go to church, it should build confidence in you. You hear what I said? Yes. I remember those days. Ha! Well, after my youth service, when I got to Lagos, I laid hold on some dangerous materials. You know what I call dangerous? Dangerous. Two people especially. Miles Morrow and David Oyedepo. Two of them. I still remember once we went for a wedding on Nature then. One of our sisters, I saw her there. So I was just talking with her, I told her that I will send you some materials. Supernatural Living Series, 8 messages by Bishop David Oyedepo. I said, when you finish listening to them, I said, and I wasn't joking, I said, when you finish listening to them, when you come out of your room, the color of the atmosphere will have changed. Because that was how it was for me. Then when I finished listening to those messages, I've given the testimony before. I was ill for a while. One day I woke up in the morning. I just did my hand on my face like this. And it felt bumpy all over. Ah! I picked the mirror. Oh, God. What was it? Chicken pox. Broke out all over me. Oh! I said, "Father in heaven, I went through my tapes, brought out tape number 2 of Supernatural Living series. I put it inside. I lay down there. The thing finished playing. I put my hand on my face. I said to the face, in the name of Jesus, I curse you. I woke up next morning the same way. I woke up, I just like, you know, the smoothness made me rush for the mirror again. Every single bump had vanished. Because I listened to one tape. I told you, when you go to church and you come and say, I'm going to die, who created this country itself? I don't know why we are together. Walk around and go to kill somebody. And it's a church you went to, chain church. It's an instruction, though. You are playing with poverty if you don't believe me. He said, ah, Pastor Mark, I can't change. Okay, at least take sabbatical. 1 year. I'm telling you, go somewhere else. Go somewhere else. The word of God is supposed to build confidence into you. And when you see life, and life do like this, you say, wait, it happened. And life, one shoulder, like that. You give on your shoulder. Ah, I just a plane. Hey, better turn. It's even a joke. Turn on to fight. Move, fight, complete. Let's know what's going on. It's true. No, listen, listen. The word of God, that's what it's supposed to do. Build confidence in you, not bring fear into you. I remember those days when I finished all those material I was telling you about. You know, my reaction to everything. My reaction to everything. In fact, people used to wonder what was up. I remember one lady went for, we're doing ARD elections for those of at the association in the hospital. We're doing elections, so I was talking to somebody I wanted to say hello. So you know, I just turned like, who is that? She said, oh, sorry, did I scare you? I said, remember the lady? He just said, hey, did I scare you? I said, scare me? Nothing is big enough to scare me. You know, that was, she was just, you know, out of just being polite. She came to my table where I was sitting. I was talking to somebody, so I turned to, like, who is that? He said, oh, sorry, did I scare you? I said, remember very well. I said, scare me? That was the way I answered, though. I just, you know, there's this nice way of saying, oh, no, don't worry about it. No. It's all right. No. Tell me, it's all right. Oh, nonsense is that. What's all right? I said, scare me? Nothing is big enough to scare me. That's how I answered her. Ah, she said, oh, she instantly connected what I was saying. He said, yes, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I said, amen. I don't care who you are, I vote for you. I told her straight, I said, for that, you have my vote. She was campaigning, I think, for vice president. I didn't care. No matter what you said after, I'm voting for Linda. I don't care. I didn't care again. It was that same thing I told you. I took a stick. I was just playing the house like this, you know. Just put a stick down. Somebody said, hey, Ducky at 60. Me at 60. I just took the stick like this. Straightened it towards the person who spoke. I said, he satisfies my mouth with good things. My youth is renewed like an eagle. I will never bend. That's how I answered it. Don't joke nonsense joke near me. No, you can't joke that kind of nonsense joke, and I will be playing with you. One day also I was in the office. We're just joking because we're all training pathologists. So I said something. So we're just talking about children. I said, one day I'm going to have children like this. One guy now jokingly said, you never heard of infertility. I said, children are the heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is a reward. Yes, I wasn't married. You don't play nonsense play. One day, lady, my friend from school, one day we saw, after a while, we're just gisting, just catching up on Jesus. How far? I wasn't married at that time, of course. And I said, all this running up and down, husband come off a house morning till night, wife come, you know, we're just talking about such things. I said, not me. I said, no, my wife's not going to work. I said, your children will go to public schools. Because my wife is not working, my children will. I wasn't married, though. She was not married, though. You see how people will be prophesying evil. God help us. People do those things when they eat nonsense. It's what they eat. This was a single lady talking to a single man. And we're just talking about life generally. And instead, she's telling me that except
my wife works that we will be so poor, we won't be able to go do anything we like. I said to her, number one, what is wrong with public schools? I remember when my children started going to school. We had a discussion with Tito. I told my wife, listen, let this boy go to where he will learn to speak Igbo and learn to fight. Yes, you know. And then after that, I said, don't worry, I will hire a teacher to come to the house. This school, to me, is a social gathering. Now my wife was like, lie, she don't go. I said, okay, I give up. But beyond that, I said, you see, it is to you according to your faith. It's to you according to your faith. Listen, let me explain something to you about faith again. He said, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Let me quickly correct this because there are so many. In fact, I know maybe only one other preacher that says what I'm about to say. I've said, if you listen to my messages on faith, I've explained again and again. People say hope is uncertain. No. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. This is the wrong way we interpret it. It's very common in teaching on faith everywhere. They say when you have a hope, you will now go and look for faith to make your hope certain. That was not what Paul said. That was not what the Bible said. Hope in the Bible is not a wish. Hope in common day English is a wish. Am I going to see you this evening? I hope so. Which means if my car starts, I go home. Are you getting my point? I'm not sure. He said, Alpha, do you think there will be sun tomorrow? You know that our program is tomorrow. We don't want it to rain. We say, we hope so. That is, we desire so. We pray so. You know, we wish so. It will be pleasing to us if it is so. But that was not what the Bible said about hope. He said, faith is the substance of things hoped, past tense for. That is, if you find a man that has an expectation, it is because he has faith. The word in the scriptures, hope, is firm expectation. It's not a wish. So when they say faith is the substance of things hoped for, he's not saying when you wish for something, go and look for faith to shock him so you don't go fall, you know, to balance him. That was not what he said. He said faith produces for you what? Hope. If you have faith, you have an expectation. And the fact about faith is that everybody has faith in something. It is a place where you place your faith that determines the kind of expectation you have. You are getting what I'm trying to explain? But one of the things I wanted to teach today, I hope we still get there. Yesterday we were having a discussion with one man. We're just joking, one of my colleagues. We're having a very good laugh, him, my wife, and I. And we're talking about how people, you know, how they scheme in life to succeed. How they scheme. And you know that there's a man he knew that this guy, he spent 7 years flying first class. And if it's local flight, business class. If he has to stay in a hotel, top level hotels, you know, go to Abuja, Hilton, you know, not Hilton, one small room down there, you know, Hilton, top floor, you know, that kind of thing. That this guy kept on doing that. Why? Because he wanted to meet the people that mattered. He said it took him 7 years and it finally worked for him. So we laughed about it.